Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wannstedt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wannstedt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but...
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
I think that's a Pittsburgh that comes out in me. Pittsburgh people can, you got to be able to walk on both sides of the tracks. When I go back to Pittsburgh, where I go, I'll go up to the fire hall, or to the VFW and get me a fish sandwich, and I will have an Iron City Light.
Not Tanny Mango.
Hell no,
Mango?
Places, if I ordered a mango to places I go, somebody I'd have to fight my way out of there.
Tell them what a man is, drinking his iron. Not a bunch of airheads sitting around on a beach.
Iron City beer. There's a little iron in all of us.
It's a bird thing.
Form is something tall and strong. They get a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Right here's where it's 5 o'clock.
That's right.
Right effing here, right now, sir.
Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Salud.
Skol, l'chaim, to the coach.
What'd you say? What was that? Spell that out for me.
L'chaim. L'chaim.
All right, I got it.
Try it.
All right, come on. Let's move on.
You can do it. Come on.
I know I can do it, but I got my mind focused on, I'm listening to the show here coming in, talking Brian Flores, the defense, Caleb, our new offensive coordinator. We got a lot going on here, guys.
So it, as someone who devised defenses against young quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
when you see what Brian Flores is doing, the success that he's had against young quarterbacks, what is it about his style that confuses the guys that don't have a ton of game experience?
Well, there's usually, it's unless you look at it real close, it's a little bit deceiving because it looks like every play, which they are, lined up six guys or so at the line of scrimmage, like they're all going to blitz. But the reality is he is probably in the middle of the pack around that on blitzing. He'll play three, he'll rush three. Probably as much as anybody. He's in the top 10 in the NFL with rushing three and dropping eight.
Wow.
Yes. So he mixes it up well. Now, the thing that he gets in running situations, he's almost more aggressive versus run. They got the number one run defense in the NFL, right? They're in the top three with giving up points. They're in the top three in the red zone. So if he's almost bringing more pressure in run situations to get you into a third, second and long, and third and long. So to me, the most important down in this game is not third down, it's first down.
That's awesome stuff, because he is doing that. They're
They're dominating the early downs.
Yes.
They're great on first and second down.
Yep.
So if you're the Bears, what should Thomas Brown and Caleb be ready to try on first and second down? Because they don't, I mean, we just spent weeks saying they got to run the ball. They got to run the ball. They got to run the ball. Then Thomas Brown ran the ball. And we kept saying it's not about how many yards you get. But here they are. If they're facing a team that refutes that, what should they be doing?
I would say, Thomas, do not fall into the trap. Don't look at these numbers and say to yourself, we can't run the ball. We're going to throw it. You know, that's the trap that the Bears fell into the whole first half of the season. So, yes, you will have to run into some tough looks. Now, the problem also with his defense is if you try a play-action pass, those guys are aggressively coming at you. So you don't have time to throw it. If you try the bootlegs and the waggles to get outside, he's always got outside guys coming on pressure to contain the quarterback. So it's a nice system, you know, and they just kind of challenge you. Are you good enough to line up and pound us for three on first down, three or four on second down? And now you have them. If it's third down and five or less, now advantage offense.
One more on the run game early. If that's what they're going to do, do you want to see DeAndre Swift running it outside? Do you want to see Roshan running it inside? What do you do?
I think you got to mix it up. I think you got to mix it up. And they make it difficult because if a team is a 4-3 or 5-2 and the linebackers are off the ball and they're not much of a pressure team, you can get double teams. You can get double teams on all the down guys. And Green Bay was doing that. Green Bay was doing that a lot against the Bears. They were doubling our 1-2 technique. They were doubling our 3 technique. A couple times the tight end and the tackle were doubling our end, and they were pushing it up in there. And yes, they, you know, sometimes it looks good and it sounds good. We're going to double team and then we're going to come up onto the linebacker. Okay, fine. That looks good in a clinic, okay, when you've got the chalk in your hand. But it's not as easy to do if your linebackers are aggressively reading this stuff. But it's a good scheme if you want to push it for 3 yards, which obviously that's all that Green Bay was trying to do.
Let's reverse it. Let's say that Minnesota wins first down,
mm-hmm.
that you end up in 2nd and 11 or 2nd and 9. When we get to third down, if it's not third and manageable for the Bears, what tendencies have you seen from Flores and what stuff might he do to be disruptive on third and third long, third and medium?
I don't have the exact number in front of me of how much he is pressuring on third down. And I would know what it would be, obviously, if I was coaching to the T.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a sneaking suspicion, watching him play and studying his defenses, that if you bring Cole Kmet in the block and you bring Roshan or DeAndre in the block, well, we're going to have 7 blockers now. So if you're going to come and blitz us, we've got 7. You know what he does? He rushes 3. And now we're sitting there with 7 guys inside blocking, and we've got 3 receivers going out, and he's got 8 guys covering 3. Advantage, Minnesota. So that's where he messes with you, because the blitz is not the biggest part of that situation.
It's like a threat.
Yes, yes, yes. But but he's going to bring them. He's going to bring them. And, you know, they do a nice job of tackling. You know, we get the ball out quick. I think the trap would be for the Bears is that we fall into this trap. Oh, we got all this talent at wide receiver, and they may be blitzing us. We're going to get the ball. We're going to beat them on the one-on-ones. To me, I wouldn't. That's not the answer. I think you got to be a little bit patient, even though it's a great run defense, and you got to pound these guys a little bit, and you got to try to get into third down and manage roles. That's my thought.
Man, it's fascinating stuff, because I think you even heard it in Caleb's voice when he was talking earlier about Flores. He sounded like a guy who's itching to throw, who's itching to hit wideouts on some blitz beaters and itching to go down the field and make them pay for blitz and make them pay for bringing
pressure.
It's got
to be his approach, right?
Yeah. What week of the season is it?
11.
Week 11, okay? And they've played better offenses than the Bears, and we haven't seen a lot of that. You know what I mean? Now, They are 20th, I believe, in defending the pass. So you can get some balls thrown in there if you can protect, you know, and on and on and on. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful here. And then you got to see how your defense is playing. You know, is the defense giving us some help? How much do we have to throw it? That all comes into that's what the head coach, he makes that decision in the flow of the game. You know, you really have to.
What did you think of Thomas Brown and what he did last week?
Oh, I liked him. I loved what he did. I mean, you know, tell you what he did. Number one, to me, he took into account our offensive line, which I've been banging the table all along. What can they do? Get the ball out quick, blah, blah, blah. Okay, run game. We ended up with 34 runs and 31 passes. We were balanced. Didn't happen by accident. Roshan had 10 carries. Okay? Swift, I think, had 14. So that was balanced. Roshan pounded it up inside. Loved it. Loved it. Swift was a little bit more on the edge. But they both got to be able to do both. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who's our – in my opinion, who do I say is our best player on offense? DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore is the best. Who do you guys think?
I thought maybe you were going to say Kmet, just as a complete player because he can do it all.
I think DJ Moore, because of what he gives you run after the catch, he can also run the entire route tree if you need him to.
And DJ can take the deep one, take it to the house. He can take underneath. He can catch. He can break tackles. Mm-hmm. Kmet's a great play. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, in my opinion, the number one player in our offense is DJ Moore. The first seven targets. Seven targets. First, right out of the bat. Guess how many catches he had right out of the bat? Seven.
Yeah, seven for seven.
So the point that we did, we got Roshan going on the running game. We were balanced. The ball came out quick, and we got the ball to our best player. I mean, Kmet had his share of catches, and Keenan, everybody got some. You know, Rome got some, but you hear what I'm saying? I mean, that was key. And then probably the other thing that I would say that I really liked what this guy did was – in Caleb's post-game press conference, they asked him about running the ball. Why were you running the ball? Okay. He says, well, as an example, I had a pass play called with third down and something to Keenan. And it looked like Keenan was going to come open. But I wasn't sure, so I wasn't going to hold it. I ran and got the first down. That's a big change, guys. Not only with early on was he looking to Keenan, okay, Keenan's covered. Who's my next guy? Who's my next guy? Bang. 5 seconds, hit in the ear, sack. So, you know, this new court, this Thomas, he told him, he says, hey, you know, if it ain't there, you get what you can get, son. But mm-hmm. We don't want to take sacks, okay? And we don't want strip balls. And then the last thing he did, how about the quarterback runs? See, when Caleb ran that first RPO, okay, where he's faking it, he's reading the defensive end, there's a little bit of real football to this play because he could give the ball off, he could keep it himself, and it's all predicated on what they're doing on defense with the defensive end.
If the end crashes down.
Exactly, okay. Now, you don't put that play in overnight. That when I saw Caleb run it the first time, I said to myself, oh, my goodness. I said, he's been running this play probably since high school.
Yeah, zone read.
At Gonzaga High School mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C. Okay, my point is that they probably had that in the playbook, but for whatever reason, they didn't run it. For whatever reason. Now, we know what comes off of that? The zone read pass. Now you come out this week, you fake it, maybe you give it, he keeps it, he drops back, DJ Moore runs a slant. So when that linebacker starts aggressively coming to the line of scrimmage to stop the run,
you sucker him with
it. You bang him with a quick slant behind him, and you're off to the races.
Let's go. That's, Coach wants that.
Well,
on
that's
fire.
The deal. That's,
well, yeah, but that's sensible. And now you got us
and it's
all
high percentage stuff. If you got a quarterback, if you got a quarterback that can execute that, and I'm gonna bet you right now, I saw Caleb do enough to tell me, let's put it in. Let's go.
We're all going to be watching this game on Sunday looking for that.
The quick slant off the fake
off
thing.
The zone read.
And he's going to ride it down in there now. Uh-huh. If you don't, you know, you got to ride the back, okay? You know, and then you pull it, you're reading the defensive end. But now here they come, and now you pull off the line. So it's a play-action pass, but it's off of a play that you're running and running and running.
Do you trust the offensive line to not get downfield on some of that stuff?
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, do I? Sure, I do. Sure, I do.
You have to, I guess.
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
Yeah.
You practice it. You practice it, and you got somebody watching that and, you know, talking to them and coaching them up.
Hey, Coach, how's that bourbon? You like that bourbon?
It's perfect. It's just, it's.
Is it good?
Thank you, Shane.
Yeah, well, you gotta know what you're drinking.
Yeah, it was my treat this week, Coach. Oh. Like, these guys are always getting the bourbon, but I figured you'd like this one. It's from South Bend.
Oh,
it's,
man.
It's a local one there.
What is it? Hold it up to the camera. Let's see what it is.
I saw the black and gold. I thought it was a Steeler. I thought it was Renegade. You know, you like Renegade, Tanny?
Little sticks. Yeah, Renegade gets you fired up. How could it not?
22 years they've been playing that. Now, all of a sudden, it's a thing.
What is this? What is it,
this
Coach?
Is straight bourbon. Play like a champion. Lou Holtz, this Lou Holtz bourbon.
Is that a problem? Is that all right? It's good, right?
Sure. I'll drink it. I got no problem with
drinking Lou Holtz bourbon.
I got no problem. Coach Holtz was an outstanding coach. I got no problem drinking his bourbon.
Is there any coach's bourbon you wouldn't drink, Coach?
Well,
Lou Holtz.
No, I threw up. Well, I was doing something the other day, and I threw up. That's what I was doing. I said, I'm sitting here having a Bradshaw bourbon, and people looked at me like I was out of my mind, you know?
Yeah, because it's horrible.
Well, Shane, it's no longer in existence, okay?
Yeah, because it was horrible, Coach.
Man, wait till I bring Terry on the show.
I know.
And you better start
Shane,
talking.
What are you doing to us, man?
Hey, where did the pizzas and that come from? That was outstanding.
That's Highline Pizza.
Wow.
Highline is an absolutely tremendously wonderful place.
That was outstanding. You know, I had a couple of those meatballs. They were
good. They brought the meatballs. They brought with 5 different pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
Some au jus.
Yeah, they've got the
French dip.
It's Highline Pizza Bar. They've got the cracker crust pizza, which is unbelievably great. And they got the Detroit style now. We had a little bit of all of it. It's a terrific place. And it has an arcade as well. So it's a River North sports bar and arcade over there at Highline. And if you go on the right night, like tonight, then you might see a very handsome bartender with a long beard.
I might be there if you want to hang out. I might be there bartending Thursdays and Sundays. You never know.
Possible.
Pop a shot. NBA Jam, all the classics.
He's heating up. Hey, guess what? I just turned this bottle over, and it does say Lou Holtz.
How about that? We weren't kidding you. This really is.
Where'd you get this up there, Shane?
Tanny got it. Tanny got it at Benny's.
Were you at a game at Benny's or
he got it at the Lou?
Yeah, Benny's have Benny's. If it's if they don't have it, it's not worth drinking. Yeah, as they say.
I thought you went to the Lou Holtz Superstore. You almost got all those Lou Holtz products that you were gonna get.
You know what, Coach? They got the USC game coming up Thanksgiving week. I'll be out in California. Thinking about taking my dad. What do you think, Coliseum? Me and my dad. Is that a fun place to watch a game or what?
It will be for Notre Dame. I'll tell you what. There'll be a butt on every seat. That's for darn sure.
And it could be the end of Lincoln Riley.
No. He'll come back. But they won't. I don't think they'll beat Notre Dame. I'll put that bet in right now. I really like Notre Dame.
I saw Caleb's going to be out there for that game.
Is he?
Yeah, he's going to be like part of some kind of parade or procession.
Where are the
or
Bears at that weekend?
Well, because Thanksgiving they play on Thursday, so they got the mini bye there.
Oh, yes, they got the weekend off.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Makes sense.
Coach, I'm sorry for what I said about Terry's bourbon.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll remind him. I'll bring it up when he comes on the show.
Oh, good.
The power of the microphone, Shane. You say it's bad for years, and all of a sudden he doesn't make bourbon anymore.
Yeah, I got influence in the game.
Yeah.
The rye was good. Like I said, the rye was good.
Speaking of that, I was talking to Jimmy yesterday. How about Fox's, not to ruin everybody's Thanksgiving, how about Tommy DeVito
yes, sir.
Versus Cooper Rush?
Yeah!
Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day.
And they won't play Trey Lance for some reason.
Oh, man.
Hey, Coach, has Jerry Jones lost it? Got people talking about him like he's got early onset problems.
You know, what I think he's going to do, I mean, you know, everyone says, get rid of Dak. He shouldn't have signed Dak to that contract. He should have made him play it out and see what happens. You know, now, he signed him. Okay, that's... But to get rid of Dak after this year, you know, hire Dion and bring his son, that's a great idea. Guess what Dak's numbers would be? Around 100 million.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
It's a poison pill of a contract.
Coach, that's a third or so of your salary cap, you know? So, I don't know. It's such a tough watch right now.
Did you see the stuff falling from the ceiling on Monday?
Piece of sheet metal falling from the roof.
I heard about it. I didn't see it. Yeah.
Well, it was multiple. There were a couple of pieces.
Oh, I only saw the one.
And then they went up there because there was another one. NFL security was like, we're not sure it's safe to play. So they made maintenance go up because there was a piece that was kind of dangling.
Wow.
And they had to take that off there too.
Oh, no, it's tough. You can tell Jerry right now, you know, it's tough. I mean, he's always been the glasses half full, and now he's arguing with the media.
With Johnny Walker Blue. That's what it's half full with, right?
It's definitely not full of playing like a champion.
to speak to Coach's point, if Dallas were to trade Dak before June 1,
yep,
it's a $90 million cap hit.
Yeah, there you
$90 million dead cap if you trade Dak?
You can't do that.
That's insane.
He's your quarterback next year.
Yeah.
At least.
Wow. He's Dave Wannstedt. He's going to make football picks for us next segment, and we're going to hear from Thomas Brown on personality. We'll do all of that.
I want to hear that.
All right, good. We'll do all of it when we come back on Spiegel & Ohms on 670 The Score.
Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Spiegel & Ohms on 670 The Score.
Man, give it up for Highline Pizza out there. Whatever that, it's like an Italian beef stromboli with the jardiniere cooked in. Goodness, that is a creative and thoughtful menu. Check it out. Coach Wannstedt is here. Lawrence, you and I heard a little bit of this from Mark Grody. It's Thomas Brown talking about Brian Flores, but it leads also into a follow-up question about Thomas Brown himself. So let's listen to this and then discuss with the coach.
Regardless of position, down and distance, it's hard to find weaknesses in this defense. They do a really good job. I don't know Brian Flores all that well, but I've met him a couple of times. I think one of the biggest compliments you can get as a coach is your unit takes on your personality. And so they are aggressive. They are attacking. They are opportunistic.
Do you feel like there's still enough time in this season for your unit to take on your personality?
It's a good question. Haven't thought about it. Probably won't think about it. I think just the daily focus of how we prepare is what I think about the most, and how I can do the best I can to put our guys in the best spot. I think the true test of a leader and the goal of a leader is to make people and situations better. That's my focus every day. Right? How can I be at my best and to be accountable so the entire group I can be at their best, but also try to find ways to continue to find solutions.
Thought it was really interesting because in one game, we saw an offense that functioned really a lot better. And you're like, oh, maybe that is his personality. But that's a lot to ask of one game. I do feel like we saw the personality of Shane Waldron in the Bears offense for the first 9 games. Chaotic, prone to mistakes, out of control, you know? So in that sense, I like this idea that seems to make sense. I had not heard it before of the unit taking on the personality of the person. That Vikings defense has a lot of personality, apparently, similar to what Brian Flores has. What do you think of this as a concept, Coach, where the unit takes on your personality a little bit?
I think absolutely, but I don't think, you know, I don't think you force that. I think just by how you coaching them, how you correcting them, how you dealing with them, I think that runs off on the players. And, you know, how aggressive are we going to be with the quarterback? I mean, the minute that the guy takes 2 steps, are you screaming, stay away from the quarterback? Or you're letting the guy get there and hit him and say, hey, we got to be careful. You know what I mean? So that's a big difference in how aggressive. If a coach told me, stay away from that quarterback, or another coach says, hey, I want you there. I want you hitting him, but we can't hit him. You know what I mean? I mean, all of a sudden, the mindsets of the players do change. And, you know, it's not like he came in new from the outside. So they've been hearing his voice for the whole year, 2 years. So, or 1 year, I guess I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not new. And then I think the things that you do, you know, it's
like if you're a button up guy and you got button up, you know, characteristics to you and you're making sure your ducks are in a row, maybe your offense will play that way.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, if you're going to blitz a lot and you're aggressive, all of a sudden your players have to play aggressive to make that work. If you're rushing 3, then you're not aggressive. Well, I think it's the same thing on offense. If you're running the football and you want to try to run the ball down their throat and you're going to talk that way and you're going to act that way and you're going to practice that way, and then pretty soon you start playing that way. where if you're just calling plays, and that's kind of what I thought the Bears early on. I looked like they just called plays.
Yeah.
You know, you had your whole playbook there, and you just called plays for whatever you thought would work. But the best offenses that I had to defend, boy, they had the play-action pass, and they had a run or two that looked – everything kind of came off of it. It was a system, you know, and it looks the same. A la the San Francisco, a motion. Or you put in – you run the same play. Patriots used to do this. They run the same play with three wide receivers, one tight end, as they did if they had two or three tight ends and one wide receiver. So they're interacting people, but the plays are the same. The blocking's the same. The quarterback reads are the same, but it puts a whole different look on the defense as far as matching up who's doing what. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was amazing, too, with Thomas Brown, and it's a simple thing. But, you know, Kurt Warner talked to us about it on Monday. The plays getting in faster.
Yes, yeah.
You know, they get in faster, and what that does to make life easier for Caleb,
yep.
Where it's like, oh, okay, I got the play. We can get into the huddle.
100%.
I can get the team up to the line of scrimmage with 15 seconds, 12 seconds left on the play clock, and I can take a look. I'm not rushed.
Yep.
I can figure out some of the pre-snap stuff and then see what they're trying to do. It's those little things that make such a big difference.
Absolutely. And that gives him a chance, too. Think about the other side. Okay, the play caller can talk to the quarterback, right? So he calls the play, and now someone can be talking to Caleb. You get the play in it, and he's not running to the line and just trying to get lined up. So, bam, he breaks the huddle. They've got the play. As Caleb's walking up there, to your point, Lawrence, now either the quarterback coach or the coordinator is saying, hey, if it's too deep, get the ball to Komet. We're anticipating too deep. But if it's single high, dump it off. That's all. So now you've got the play in. He's got time. He's walking up. He's looking at it, like you said. And now the coach can throw in an extra point or two.
Did you, as a defensive coordinator, ever have to go up there and know that you were taking arrows for the head coach? Like, when you talked about something, like you knew that a head coach had made a decision that put you in a tough spot.
Oh, yeah.
But you weren't going to – you can't bust toss your own coach, right?
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, it's – no, you're everybody's part of it. And, you know, everybody's got enough things going wrong in the game to worry about, your own problems, right? And that's the role of the head coach. And, no, that never entered my mind.
Felt like Richard Hightower was.
We did on a fake punt one time. And I laughed about this with Jimmy. He still doesn't think it's funny. But we spent all we're playing Notre Dame. Speaking of that bourbon, and God, you know, it was the convicts versus Catholics game, and he wanted to run this. And Tony Wise and I ran the punt protection back then. That's what we did. I handled special teams kickoff. As a defense coordinator, I coached the linebackers. It was crazy. Wow. I coached nickelbacks, linebackers, coordinated the defense, handled the kickoff coverage with guys helping me. And then somehow Tony and I got roped into handling the punt team. Coached the punt team with guys. So, I mean, it was, thank God I had a good wife and kids because it was a lot, okay? We were a lot of grinding. Anyway, so sure enough, we went to Jimmy and said, we can run that fake punt. You know, we had a big fullback, Matt Britton, big tough guy, backup middle linebacker. He was our personal protector. We said, we can block this and we can hit these guys on this. Oh, God. So Jimmy comes in. We look at the tape. That's all he thinks about now. So we're working punt period and we do two punts. And he says, let's run that fake in practice. Let's run the fake. So he says, I said, no, we don't know if we're going to get this look from Notre Dame. They might change. And he says, okay. Let's get everybody watching to help you. What do you need? So I'm in the press box. I assign, there's five guys up there. You watch the two guys, the guard and the tackle. You watch the center and the other guard and tackle. You watch this guy. Everybody's got two guys to watch. And we're going to watch it the first time. And then I'm going to let Jimmy know, hey, they're in that look. We got them. Go ahead. Whatever you want to call it, we're good to go. That was the plan. So we're there. We're going to punt the first time. I'm not even looking yet because we just get done with defense. We stop them. Now they have to punt. So I'm looking down at my defensive guys, and no sooner do I look up, I hear the crowd roaring. Jimmy didn't wait on nothing. He calls this fake punt. Our guy, we hike him the ball. He takes one step. Three guys from Notre Dame hit him in the backfield. We get hit in the backfield. They get the ball.
Oh, God.
The next play, I'm screaming as loud as I can. The play pass. All the coaches on the sideline. We didn't have the tools to communicate yet. Now they're trying to scream to our defense, the play pass. Tony Rice, guess what he does? Play pass, 60-yard. Bang.
Tim Brown?
I don't know if it was Tim Brown or Rocket or some one of those guys. But, you know, yeah. So, I mean, we get hit with a long pass down to the 10. They score.
So Jimmy's blaming you.
No. We would never do it. We were like brothers.
You could laugh about it now. Still doesn't laugh.
So we're watching the Convicts and Catholics when it comes out on 30 for 30. And I said, we didn't play worth a damn in that. We didn't play very good. We threw two or three interceptions. Steve Walsh, Tony, I said, we gave up that big play after the fake punt. And he looks at me and says, I don't know if we played that bad. I says, I'm not going to argue. Yep, we didn't play that bad. But to answer your question, no. But that was one time when I was thinking, damn it, if we had just waited. But he wasn't going to wait. He wanted to run that thing.
And you wouldn't bury him in the media that way.
Coach, you ready to make some picks?
I am, always.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
It's time for the Four Winds Forecast with Dave Wonstead.
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go.
Presented by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend.
All right, I'm starting with those darn Packers, okay? I like San Francisco to go to Green Bay and beat them up there at Lambeau this week, all right?
So I just want to update you on this, Coach.
Go ahead.
I want you to have all the information. Brock Purdy's dealing with that shoulder injury.
Yep.
They moved his press conference back. It's usually today.
Yep.
They're moving the press conference for the quarterback back to tomorrow. It could be Brandon Allen, who had a couple of good games back in 2020 with the Bengals. Older quarterback, he might start in that game. Just wanted to keep you updated.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't get that. That's perfect. Okay. I like Seattle. They're at home. They're playing Arizona. Yeah, Arizona, is playing good. But Seattle, that win last week that they had, that walk-off win, Geno Smith, their quarterback, I think it gives them some juice at home and they win. I also like Baltimore. I like John Harbaugh to beat his brother Jim. And that's in L.A. also. So I like Baltimore. Wow. And then lastly, here we go. I am taking the Bears and 3.5. I like the Bears to beat Minnesota this week.
Woo!
Yep, 3.5. I'm taking those 3.5.
Would you take them on the money line too?
I didn't, but
would you?
Well, I don't know. I might. I might. But I like the Bears this week.
That was the Four Winds Forecast every week with Dave Wonstead. Experience the excitement at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, and South Bend. With award-winning cuisine, the latest slots, a variety of table games, and luxurious hotels. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Let's get someone out to Four Winds on the Four Winds Forecast. Four Winds Casino Resort, New Buffalo, and South Bend, your entertainment escape. We're going to give away a $200 gift card to caller 6 of the contest line. 312-540-0670. That's 312-540-0670.
Hey, who do you guys like, Ohio State or Indiana?
I like Ohio State.
I like Ohio State, too.
How about this stat? Ohio State, 14, I read today, 5 stars. Indiana,
0.
0. You talk about an imbalance in talent.
Man.
Hey, how about
but don't underestimate. I'll tell you, Cignetti now.
He's done a great job.
Cignetti coaches and reacts. He acts like an Urban Meyer or a Nick Saban. This guy has coached a lot of ball.
How about him signing the extension before last week's game, saying we're going to turn Indiana into a powerhouse? I don't need to go to a powerhouse. I'm in the Big Ten, and I got this good team, and we got recruits coming in. I'm staying.
Good for him. Absolutely. Yeah, that should be. I think it's going to. I hope it's a game. I do. I'm an Indiana fan. Obviously, my daughters went there and so forth. But we'll see what happens.
Thanks, Coach. You're the best.
All right, guys.
Talk to you.
There is something that made its triumphant return today that we not only need to tell you about, But damn it, we need to celebrate it. We'll do it next here on The Score.
Spiegel at home.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
Welcome back.
Coach Wanstead just dropping stories during the break with his feet up.
He literally put his feet up.
He put his feet up on the console, telling stories about John Robinson and Jack Del Rio and Marcus Allen. And then he said, "Hey, there's more pizza out here, guys. Go ahead."
There is.
He's not wrong.
Thanks to Highline for the pizza. It's really delicious, and we thank them for feeding the show occasionally.
Damn right.
It's pretty nice.
And employing Shane.
And employing Shane, but I think Shane probably did that on his own.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You employed yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I asked. Well, I said, hey, I'm moving in around the block. You guys need any help? They're like, yeah, for sure.
Well, yes, we do.
Yeah, it's good free marketing.
There you go.
My guy, Rick Camp, alerted me to this because we have been in this crusade since it went away. And shout out to the I'm Fat podcast with our buddies Rick Camp and Jay Zawoski.
Tremendous podcast. Incredibly long run.
It's really terrific.
And Rick Camp in studio.
Well, not right now, but we always love it. And congratulations to Camp. Campy's engaged. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I did know that.
And
he's making bets on fat stacks.
Yes, he is.
As well, he's an active, vibrant person in the fat and betting community.
If you are someone that wants to know more about NBA betting, Rick Camp is that dude.
He's really good at it.
He's very good at it, knows the league very well. But we were all in the same boat because there was a menu item that had been taken away from us, and now it is back.
This is a high-end restaurant menu item?
Taco Bell is every restaurant. Taco Bell has brought back the caramel apple empanada after a 5-year break.
That's crazy. I thought it was seasonal. I saw the headline that it was back, and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it's kind of like the McRib. It goes and it comes.
It's part of their, like, decades menu that they do, but it broke my heart when they took it away in 2019.
I've never had one. It sounds delicious.
Speaks, put it on the list of things that you need to do over the next couple of weeks.
Tell me, there's some other things on the list too, but this is one that's going to go right to the top.
Well, like I was watching
Christmas shopping. Nah,
Tim Dillon was a funny comedian. His podcast, he was saying that this decades menu thing is like a response to all the Ozempic craze. Like, oh yeah, we see you, checkmate.
We're going to give you decades back all your favorites. Yeah, like this thing in the caramel apple empanada. For those who haven't seen it. And Shane, how did you describe it? Because I think you pretty much nailed it.
Like the McDonald's apple pie. You said Hostess apple pie with the hardened glaze.
Yeah, it's got a little bit. You're right, though. It does have a little bit of the McDonald's apple pie thing, but with a caramel glaze on top.
It's much better.
It is. Speaks.
Wow.
It is delicious. It
sounds great.
I'm so happy that they're bringing this thing back.
Is it a snack cake? Does this qualify as a snack cake?
No. It's a pie.
Well, it's not wrapped in plastic, so you're good.
Okay,
It's an empanada.
And is it warm? Is it served warm?
It's Mexican food.
Sure is.
It's Mexican food.
It's not like those Christmas cakes that I have in my locker still, Speaks.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those.
Those are the best.
I can find you a key for that lock if you want.
I'll just take those.
I don't need a key.
I'll just take those because you don't need them.
I just want it so bad.
You can have them.
You can take those. Yeah, the caramel. So it is served warm, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be good warm.
$2.99, man. Perfect. Like, because, you know, I'm a salty sweet guy. So, you know.
As am I.
You go to Taco Bell and you get whatever your order is. And then you're like, okay, I got my salty down. Here's the perfect sweet to go with it.
So we haven't really talked about this, the salty sweet thing. I've long been a salty sweet guy in terms of the flavor profiles that unites the world, frankly. The happiness and the sadness with which all of us are familiar during the course of one day of human existence.
Look to the cookie.
Yes, the bitter and the sweet.
Seinfeld reference.
Mm-hmm. The chocolate pretzel. The chocolate pretzel is a phenomenal, very basic, perfect item.
Really good confection.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing. See, now this is where we may differ. I don't know. Pineapple in stir fry.
I've never tried that.
You've never had pineapple in like a chicken fried rice or something like that?
No.
Like a Thai fried rice that has pineapple in it, or maybe a sweet curry in the Thai sweet curry?
Or even an al pastor taco.
Oh, Tanny, now.
With pineapple?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pineapple in the al pastor taco.
That's how they cook it, most of it.
100%. And then I go to Pineapple on Pizza, but I get laughed at by people. But it is an extension of my salty sweet.
No, it's because it's bad. People are laughing at you because it's a bad decision. You make horrible pizza decisions. You always have. You always will.
You don't know that.
Sea salt brownie.
Oh, ooh.
At
tremendous.
Trader Joe's.
That is a phenomenal item.
Oof.
Yes. Well, and obviously, the salted caramel craze that took over the nation. It reminds me of when I was a boy, Lawrence, and everything became ranch at one point. Remember the year everything went ranch?
I do.
It was
still out here, too.
Oh, big time. But there was it was Hidden Valley Ranch, and then it was like, you know what? We're going to go ranch, and we're going to go ranch.
And have you ever tried pizza with ranch?
Why, yes, I have now.
What's your favorite non-conventional thing to put ranch on, or your favorite ranch-flavored thing?
I don't know. I mean, Cool Ranch Doritos are a wonderful item. The ranch-flavored Bugles, you ever had those?
No, because I don't eat Bugles. Nobody does. Nobody should.
Wrong. Incorrect.
No,
incorrect.
Nobody should eat Bugle guy. Bugles, let's go.
Bad snack.
Plus, you turn them over and you play them like horns. You make proclamations.
Oh, good. More proclamations.
I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff out there. But the salted caramel craze, and we've got a bond over the salty sweet. You and I.
Is it all right if I bring you the caramel apple empanada?
Lawrence, I will accept a caramel apple empanada, yes.
So I tried to get some tonight for this segment. I was just going to, when you started doing it, I was going to bring them in. And the Taco Bell by us on Wabash was out by the time I tried to order.
I bet they are. Yeah. That's a menu item that people have been waiting for. So I'm glad it's back.
You can bring it, or we could go together. We could make a venture towards it, because I don't see you tomorrow.
That's true. I am off, so I am breaking the Iron Man streak at 27.
It's pretty good. Pretty good run there.
I agree. And then you're breaking the streak on Monday.
That's right. I'm out on Monday. So I've got Mark Grody tomorrow.
And then it'll be me and Layla on Monday.
Can he break the streak on Monday if it's already at zero?
No, that's a good point by you, Shane.
I'm refusing to start it.
It resets, and it'll still be at zero.
Yeah.
So we'll start it again on Tuesday.
Yeah, there it is.
It'll be a good thing.
And then we'll have it. We'll go a whole 2 days with that one.
So you land the plane because you're here tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. So tomorrow on the show, we'll do stuff. Nailed it. Me and Grody tomorrow.
Well, we still have Dan Wiederer and Olin Krutz.
Come on, man. That's a lot. And we have a celebrity Minnesota Vikings fan who is very, very funny, and you know him from a ton of movies and TV shows.
You could say his name.
You think so?
Yeah.
Nick Swardson is on the show tomorrow. That's awesome. That's going to be fun as hell. For Tanny, for Shane, for Wani, for Lawrence, Speaks. We thank you for listening. We deeply appreciate it, and we will repay that. Tomorrow. Did I do it right? Did I hit that?
That's actually better than I do.
Okay, we'll repay that tomorrow at 2 o'clock on the Spiegel & Holmes Show.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.